were talking last week about influencers, and of course there are thousands, maybe millions online today who are trying to be influencers, sometimes in positive ways and sometimes in not so positive ways, but often in financial ways trying to impact you, for sure. And we just want to be an influence in your life by saying, listen, God has something great in store for you. Here's the question. Who is speaking into your life? Who has spoken into your life? Who has influenced you that's made the biggest difference in your life? Got some great stories coming up today. Again, Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen here at the Intentional Living Center. Part one of this show was last Wednesday. If you missed it, you can check it out at our website at theintentionallife.com. I mentioned then that my dad was one of the, probably the top of the list of influencers in my life. I had several. But my dad was always one who spoke into my life with positivity, encouragement, hope. My dad was a positive person by disposition. And he was always, at least to me, able to speak into the lives of people. People loved my dad, as we certainly did as well. And he made a difference. Been gone a lot of years, but I can still hear him speak into my head, in my heart. How about you? Who's spoken into your life? You know, the people we hang around with make a big difference. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, do not be misled. Bad company. Bad company. Now, how do you define bad company? You kind of know it, don't you? If you're being honest with yourself, not all friends are good for you, and not all friends should be in your life, and some friends need an expiration date. Bad company corrupts good character. Yeah, that's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How about you? Who's impacted your life? Maybe in a negative way or in a positive way as we hear your stories. Let's go to Cheryl. Who is it that's influenced your life, Cheryl?
My biggest influence has been my sister. My younger sister was born less than 2 years after me, and she had Down syndrome. And sorry, I'm getting a little emotional.
It's okay.
She was a very joyful, happy, loving person who appreciated everything and everyone. And I lost her last year. She passed away, but she has influenced everything from my faith to my vocation, to my attitude toward others.
Yeah.
And I just loved her so much.
How did it impact your career choice?
Well, I became a special ed teacher, and I wanted to do that when I was 8 years old, and I never varied from it. I'm retired now, but I loved doing what I did for many years, and I still work with people with developmental challenges. And I don't know what I would have done with myself if it hadn't been for her.
Well, it sounds like it's impacted everything from how you view people who maybe are a little different than we are at times, and more accepting, loving, engaging, and then dedicating your life to helping people that have special needs. God bless you, Cheryl.
Well, I was so blessed to have her in my life.
Sounds like it. Thank you, Cheryl. Those tears are okay, by the way, around here. We can even send you some Kleenex. There we go. We should have some Intentional Living branded Kleenex that we can send out. All right. Let me go to Beth in Arizona. Hi, Beth. How are you today?
Hi there.
Appreciate your call. Who's influenced your life?
A few different people. Of course, my mother and father, they had, you know, the mother, the love, and my dad more of the independence. But it brings me back to when I was about five. My grandmother was a dietitian, and she would have to go in early to the hospital, and she got mugged. And so the cop was there. Yeah, she was okay, but shaken up, of course. and so the cop, which was actually one of our neighbors, I think it was Mr. Maticavage, he came in and he chatted with us, and he said that you can't, when you walk, you have to carry yourself high and proud and strong. and you can't cower and be afraid. And even at five, just hearing that really stuck with me throughout my whole entire life on how just to carry myself. And there was another one where when I got bit by an Afghan hound on the face, I was 9 years old, and I kind of, I guess two of the kids, Bobby Dyes and Paul Donovan, they said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, the kids call me names about my scar on my face." And they said, "Well, don't let that bother you. Just say that you're a scar face and that you should see the other person and don't worry about what kids think of you." And that really stuck over the years too. And
have you lived a life with more confidence than you think maybe others do have?
I do, because I'm not afraid to talk to anybody or be around anybody. Mm-hmm. I can walk through a dark alley or walk at night. Have that. Yeah.
Well, like the policeman said to you when you were 5 years old, which by the way qualifies as an early childhood memory. And I've written a couple books on topic of early childhood memories. And what we know about that is that sometimes we remember something from our childhood, which is seemingly insignificant, like a policeman who have to say, "Hey, walk with confidence." I mean, that's a seemingly insignificant moment, even though the story was significant, but remembering that part of it is really reflective of how you view life today. And one of the things we know is we tend to remember things from our childhood which become consistent with how we view life today. And that's why I said, "You walk with confidence." And she said, "Yes." You know, Beth is saying, "I can walk, and I can walk down dark alleys," which, by the way, may not be the best idea, Beth, even confident or not. But the point is, we remember things from our childhood, and sometimes those who influenced us, we remember, though, because it becomes a kind of a marker in our life and how we view life today, and the impact that that person made in our life. All right. Thank you, Beth. Appreciate the call. Very, very good. Let me go to Bill in Michigan. Hi there, Bill. Who are you? I mean, how are you? I know who you are, but how are you? All right. Who influenced your life?
A minister who was about 55 when I met him back in the 80s. And, He supported me in becoming a preacher. I preached first in his church. He let the church support me financially as I was going through a Bible college and seminary. Through the years, he has been at all, you know, at those junctures. Like, he was the best man at my first wedding. And, you know, like, now he's like probably 95, 96, and I'm the age he was when I met him. And he happened to be in the hospital, and I went and visited him, and he was just like, "Oh, you just made all the difference visiting me." And I said, "You know, Pastor, you've made a whole difference in my life. When I needed a shove in the right direction, you were there, and you kept encouraging me." And, you know, so I'm like, "Well, I may have made your week, but you made my life." Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how he had been there at the strategic times over a 45 year period. You know what I mean?
Well, what was the moment like? You go back 45 years, you said it was a strategic moment. What was going on in your life when he stepped into your life?
I had just come to the Lord. I was a senior in high school. I was dating a girl from his church, and my parents were not really focused on, you know, the things of God or whatever. So him and his wife kind of adopted me as like a grandson and treated me like one of their own, like one of their own kids. And, you know, I got nothing against my parents. They were good people. They taught me a lot of great things. But, you know, Pastor McLeod, you know, recognized my calling into the ministry, you know, gave me advice and encouragement. He let me do my ministerial internship at his church. And just, you know, just like through the years, he was contributing. When my first wife passed away, him and his wife came back from Florida to be at the funeral in Michigan. They were just great, 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 great people. And they probably have like hundreds of people that they've treated like me through the years, you know, that think of them as like their grandparents and stuff. And I'll say it's Pastor Max and Phyllis, and I won't say anything else, but they were just great people. And anybody who knows, who just heard me say that, know exactly who I'm talking about.
Great people. That tells you enough. If you can mention a name and there are people smiling everywhere. Now, that's a life worth living. That's a life worth living. Now, Bill, not only do we know how you're doing, but we know who you are. And a man that has spent his life influencing other people. And my guess is you'll be doing the same thing, repeating it, paying it forward, as they say. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Yes, I'd like to thank you for the goodness that you brought into my life, and I am subscribing to Intentional Living. The whole program is based on Christ, and I think it's a great systematic way in order to help people order their lives in Jesus. And I think that's the integral message, is Jesus Christ. God bless, and have a good day.
Well, you're very welcome. We're glad to be here. Thank you for your support. We are a listener-supported ministry of Intentional Life Media, and when you support, you allow us to continue to do this. You can check it out at our website, theintentionallife.com, or call during the West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Talking influence today and the impact we have on each other. Powerful thing. And we hear these stories. They're just really amazing. All right, let me go to Arizona. Tiffany is on the line. Hi, Tiffany. How you doing today?
Hi, good, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. We're talking influence. Who came to mind?
Oh, man. Well, my mom has been one of the most influential human beings on this earth, to not only me, but to several others. And I would call her an angel on earth.
Wow. In what way? How does she influence people?
Well, when I have two sisters, and when we were all little girls, my parents were unequally yoked. And my mom had found Christ at 19 and never wavered from that moment. And so she told my dad, "Do you want to raise daughters that are strong in this world, or do you want to raise daughters that are weak? Because we have to make that choice right now." And my dad was confronted with that question, and he said, "Absolutely, strong girls." And so my mom said, "Okay, then we are going to put Christ in their life, and then that way they never waver when they get older." And she was right. She raised three strong, amazing girls.
How did your dad respond to that? If he's not a believer, how did he respond?
Well, he couldn't deny it. And I think my dad knew that he had to raise some strong girls in this world, too. And I think my mom had a lot of influence on him through prayer. I mean, lots and lots of prayer. Mm. And, you know, my dad had a lot of common sense. So I think he knew better than to say no to my mom when it came to that. And, boy, to this day, my husband and I have adopted five boys from the foster system. And I couldn't do it without my mom mentoring me through it and helping me learn how to, you know, walk with God during those times, because it was hard times.
Yeah.
Fighting the system for you know, the greater good.
What is it when you talk about your mom's influence? Is there a word or two or a phrase that sort of would represent how she influenced people?
I think her spiritual presence that always brings the light of Christ, no matter where she goes. Hmm. And my dad would tell us, she always glows and walks into a room, it lights up. Wow. The light of Christ.
Are your parents still with you?
My dad passed away 15 years ago. Hmm. He passed away on his deathbed, but he accepted Christ. Amen. Literally in the hour of death.
Wow.
with his girls and my mom around him. So that was pretty,
that's special.
Pretty miraculous,
yeah,
and special. Yes.
Amazing. Well, I'll tell you what, this your mom has lived a lifelong influence, impact in people, and that's a great thing, even to your dad, I'm sure, in those final moments, remembering all that he heard and experienced and finally said, all right, it's time.
Yep.
That's powerful.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Tiffany, thank you for your call. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Have a good day.
All right. We will. You know, I hear these deathbed conversions where people come to Christ. That is as legitimate or authentic as any point in life, right? But I'm always saddened by a lifetime that could have been maybe different in terms of a lifetime with Christ as opposed to waiting to the very end. Which is a reminder, if you're a young person today, make that decision. Give your life to Christ. Hey, listen, you've been on the line enough. You've seen the influencers. You know what's going on in the world. You're not finding peace. You're not finding joy. You're not finding contentment there. I mean, you might find some highs, but you'll also see the lows, and you realize that people don't make us happy, don't give us joy. And if they do, it's for a brief time because they're people. Our ultimate joy is going to come in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it goes on to say in the book of Romans that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. It's not magical. It's just a matter of saying, Lord, I'm done doing it my way. And I don't know what this is all about, but I ask you to come into my life and to be my Lord and my Savior. And I'm going to start following you every day. Getting plugged into a Bible-believing, teaching church, be around people that are going to build you up spiritually. And of course, we're biased in saying, hey, fill your life 24 hours a day as much as you possibly can with what you hear on the radio and the streaming that we do and so on that'll build up your life and encourage you in worship and praise and encouragement and hope and also the teaching that we need. Powerful. All right, let me go to Eric in Michigan. Hi, Eric. Appreciate your call. How are you today?
Hey, doing good, Dr. Randy. My friend was Bill Joslin. And this man, when I had a real problem in my life and got arrested, and nobody in the church wanted to be around me, he just said, he showed me compassion. And he said, we've all made mistakes. Come on. And when I knew he really accepted me was when he had a coming to age party for his son, and he picked me as one of them to be one of the guys. And I thought that was so neat. He said, Eric, you have stuff to teach my kid. And he invited me, and he was a friend of mine. We joked, we laughed. And when the Lord took him home in 2005, I actually spoke at his funeral, and I just shared my heart, and I had people coming up to me and say, thank you, Eric, and he knew what I could be.
And what did you become?
More compassion for people who've had trouble with the law and stuff, because he taught me, you got to love the people, you know? Don't look at the bad, look at the good, you know?
Right.
And to this day, he is one of the guys, if you ask me who's one of my biggest influences was, I will always say him. And I even got to tell his wife that he made an impact in my life. And his wife's like, I never knew that, Eric. And thank you. Mm-hmm. And so that is my guy. And you met him. He went to one of your conferences in Michigan years ago.
Wow. Well, I'm glad he did. And let me ask you, how are you doing today?
I am doing good. I'm one of those guys that goes and talks and visits with people who are kind of the outcast. And I'll sit and talk with them and joke with them and laugh. And because of him doing that with me, I do that for, I say, I want to show that to other people. So I do it as much as I can. And the Lord has had me go to places where people are like, how did you go there? Mm. I did it. And they're like, okay.
Well, you did it because you know what it's about and you know how they live and you know your experiences can connect. And I think that's one, Eric, that's a reminder. We're most likely going to influence people in sort of the lane that we're in sometimes. You know, maybe you've been in the lane where you've had some experiences in your life that you can relate to someone else. Maybe you've been through infertility and you're going to have that lane to be able to impact somebody. Maybe you've been through some health challenges, or like Eric, you've had issues with the law, been in jail, or maybe you've struggled with an addiction or been through some marriage issues. There's something about being able to connect with someone around our own story. There's power in those stories. And don't feel like you can't influence someone for good, because you can. As a result of what God has taught you and what your story is, just share it. One of the most powerful things today we can do is just share our story of what God has done in our life. We're talking about influence. Love to hear your story. You can share it on our comment line, a story line, at 888-888-1717. Here's another thing I've learned on an airplane. Turbulence happens. Yeah, it's unexpected. In fact, turbulence can happen in clear air. When we were flying back from Detroit just a couple weeks ago, perfectly clear air, and all of a sudden we're in the middle of turbulence, and the pilot has everybody in their seats and the flight attendants in their seats, and for 20 minutes or a half hour, everybody's in their seats, and you hang on. And in our lives, we have turbulence that comes. You're going along in life, and all of a sudden your spouse says, I don't want to be married to you anymore. You're going along in life, and all of a sudden the doctor says, you've got cancer. And what do you do when you have the turbulence in your life? Turn to Christ. You know, the good news is if you're turning to Christ every day, it makes it a lot easier when that turbulence hits in your life. You're ready. I'm Dr. Randy. This is the Intentional Living Center. That was an excerpt from the featured lesson this month, and it's called 10 Things I Learned on an Airplane. I was thinking as I was flying one day about, you know, there's less life lessons when you put 120 or 200 people into a little tube and lock the door, right? And then you put us with seat belts on and you're 3 inches away from the other person because I don't get to fly first class. You're right arm to arm, right, with the person next to you. And there's lessons that we learn on an airplane. And so I sat down and I said, hey, what are 10 things I learned? That was one of them, right? Turbulence happens. I mean, to make a difference if it's clear air or bad weather, turbulence happens. Sometimes it's really bad. Sometimes it's not so bad. But the good news is it usually passes, right? Anyway, the entire lesson, it's kind of a cool lesson. It's one that you may want to share with your family. It'd be a great outline for some of you who teach. You could get that lesson, and you're welcome to take the points I shared there and share them with some others. 10 things we learn on an airplane. It's available to our members always. It's up on our website, the exclusive site for members. And when you come and join us today in monthly support, you're making a difference. And boy, we need you. We're leading up to something really exciting happening later this week. Special campaign, and we have a drawing that's going to be wrapping up here in just a few hours. All that information is available on the website at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. All right, Stephen, influence, you whispered in my ear. You had a story. What's going on?
When I was a sophomore in college, I became friends with the priest who was the priest on campus. His name was Father Bob. And I'd never had much experience with Catholics, but for some reason, this guy loved me. And about a year later, he handed me a book called On Prayer. Huh. And I read it, and the first page of the first chapter said, "When's the last time you told God you loved him?" And I was floored, because I praised him, I thanked him, I worshiped him. I mean, I did all those things, but I never said, "Father, I love you." Mm-hmm. And that has stuck with me all these years. You know, 50 years later, it stuck with me. But it really hit home when I became a dad, and I heard my kids say, "Daddy, I love you."
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, gee, Steve, don't you think God wants to hear that too? Yeah. And so that has been a part of my prayers now for years and years and years. And it's been interesting because I hear friends pick up that same phrase where people say, Father, I love you.
Yeah, and I've been with you. And when we ask you to pray, you always, that's the way you start. Very good. Thank you, Stephen. All right. Pastor Stephen there. We're talking about influence, how we impact each other. I think we have time quickly. Can we go to Kevin in Arizona? Go right ahead. What's your story?
Gentleman named Pop Ziegler.
And how did he impact you?
We were at a men's retreat. I was a very young Christian father who never had a Christian father or any influence like that in my life, being a young man from the streets in New York. So that was not a good area to be from to be a dad. Well, we were at this men's retreat, and because of a plane problem, the speaker was late, and I wound up walking around the campus for 2 hours with Pop, and he fed into me what it was to be a father as a Christian. And because of that, I raised my sons and my son and my daughter. Both are in full-time ministry. My son is a senior pastor in the south side of Chicago, and my daughter is a children's pastor in Texas. And that was, of course, the influence of him and other men in the church that took me underneath their wing as a young Christian. And in turn, I became a Royal Ranger Commander, which is through the Assemblies, the scouting program, for over 30 years.
Wow.
And hopefully influenced young men and young ladies, because I also worked with my daughter in children's church over the years. But that man, Pop Ziegler, didn't take that time to help me get grounded. I wonder how many lives my kids wouldn't be touching this day because I wasn't a father ready as a Christian to raise them.
Right. That's a great question. In fact, I was going to close the show today by challenging you with this question. Who are you influencing today? And you may think, well, I'm not influencing anybody. I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm just a dad, or I'm a grandpa, I'm retired, and I don't have that much impact on people. Here's a fact. You have and you are influencing somebody. You're going to influence the mail person that comes to your door today with the mail, or if you're like my wife, the Amazon driver. We know them by first name that come to our door. But you impact people. You're going to impact people at the store. You're going to impact those grandkids. You're going to impact your friends. You're going to impact people online. You make a difference. What you say, how you live, and how you intentionally influence. I'm Dr. Randy. Hope it's helped today. Thanks for being a part of the program. This is Intentional Living, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.